This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We got a ton of guests, live guests, five of them, Wes, yeah. Including Luke Hancock coming up, who will be making his 26th.
Well, you've really gone back and done all the research.
I have done a ton of research on our guests.
26?
This is his 26th appearance. This is our 587th show.
Wow. Let's go then live to Derby City, shall we? Luke Hancock joins us. I said this to Pac earlier. I don't know that it could have worked out much better or much more efficient for the University of Louisville than you proclaim who the number one target would be, and that ends up being the guy. I mean, can you tell me if there were any bumps along the way here? This looked pretty systematic at the end, I think.
I agree with you. This was it was quiet. Seems to be held mostly internally. The fans kind of put out who they really wanted, and you know how it is with coaching hires. Whispers get put out there about names, and it just sends people all different directions. All kinds of craziness ensues. But, you know, as a former player, you root for a guy like Kenny Payne to get the opportunity. It seems like Friday things are going to happen that push the University of Louisville's basketball team into a new era. I'm excited that Kenny's got the opportunity. I liked what everyone that's been in his circles have come out and said. Even Coach Calipari has said, you know, Louisville's one of the programs and they got the guy. And I've played golf with Kenny a couple times. I don't have an extremely close relationship with him, but the times that I've been around him and just being kind of close to some of his inner circles, it's really hard to find anything bad about the guy. I'm excited for the opportunity, and it's just a new era for Louisville basketball that I think is refreshing to a lot of fans.
Look, I would assume that the vast majority of Louisville fans are positive about this hire. I mean, you know, one of your own is coming back to lead the program to a new era, which we're getting ready to walk into for not only for Louisville, but also for the ACC. I mean, next year, no Coach K, there's no Roy Williams. Tony Bennett's still great. We got three guys in their 70s rocking and rolling at Syracuse, Miami, and Florida State. Really, the time is of the essence for Louisville in every sense of the word here.
Absolutely. And I think in the new college basketball environment, you got to have something a little bit different. You know, I think the coaches that are really tough on guys, that demand a ton from them, you got to have the cachet built up. You got to have some championships under your belt almost to be able to get away with that kind of stuff, the way Coach K and Roy Williams, some of those guys you mentioned, have done it for so long. I think the new era is more of a player's coach. You got to go out and re-recruit your guys each year with how easy it is to get in the transfer portal. And also think it's just really interesting to me. For so long, we had a struggle with bringing back, you know, one of your own, one of the guys that played at your school, somebody that's a legend of basketball. And I think Juwan Howard's done a good job of mixing that up again. How many guys have we seen go out and get the Duke guy, John Shire, the UNC guy in Hubert Davis, or the Indiana guy in Mike Woodson? And now it looks like Louisville's going to do the same. For a long time, I was wondering if that recipe would work out. I always said, if Chris Mullin doesn't work at St. John's, you're not going to be able to bring a great back to a school and it work out. So I think it's interesting, but there's so many positives. And I think he will adapt well to where college basketball is going, how many changes we've seen, and just how the game works over the last few years.
Luke, does Kenny Payne's arrival at Louisville prevent the exodus of the ship too? I mean, when you bring somebody back like that, does that kind of keep the core four in, if you will? I mean, you know, you got great play out of Sidney Curry late. That's a big who's a sophomore you can build with. I mean, you know, the young guy, I mean, Samuel Williamson, let's be honest, has not hit the expectation I think we all thought. But you've got enough there to work with, I'm guessing, that if this happens like this, that keeps everybody in place. Plus, the one thing you know about Kenny Payne, the guy gets players, and he gets great players. He doesn't just get good ones.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see what he does. You know, I was talking to Corey Alexander at the ACC tournament, and just talking about the way this roster is built out now, he said, how many teams in the ACC have 10 or 11 quality ACC players the way Louisville does? Now, I know they weren't all first-teamers or anything like that, but Louisville had depth. they just kind of couldn't make the pieces to the puzzle fit together. It'll be very interesting to see what Kenny Payne does with this roster, because like you said, the transfer portal is the new wrench in this system that can change everything very quickly. You know, I've gone back to Wake Forest a bunch of times. What Steve Forbes did going out there and transforming that roster was so impressive. And you think about the holdovers, there weren't that many. You know, Isaiah Musius and Williamson, Carter Witt, and then the rest he had to piece together. And so I expect much of the same with Louisville. I think he'll go out and really dominate the transfer portal. I mean, can you imagine, you know, Kenny Payne pull it up to a somebody's house and saying, hey, I've yes, sir.
Let me ask you about staff. If I'm reading the tea leaves right, does Kenny Payne lean on Louisville guys here? Does he do kind of what Hubert Davis did at Carolina? I mean, first of all, there's an interesting Kentucky tie with an assistant he worked with who's now at another school that I wouldn't be surprised. Joel Justice is a name that came to me yesterday. As a guy who's worked in that area, who's worked in the SEC, knows Kenny well. He was at John Calipari. He's now at Arizona State with Bobby Hurley. Mike Pegues is another one here. I'm curious about the fits and how much holdover you need. Where do you think he goes from a staff perspective?
I think that's the biggest question. You've seen a lot of guys go out and get kind of the older head coach that comes back to kind of be a calming presence. You know, Phil Martelli for Juwan Howard or Larry Brown for Penny Hardaway. I think you got to get guys that just help and fit with what you're trying to do. You can't have if you're trying to be the good cop and your assistant coaches are supposed to be the bad cop, that relationship is important. And I think it's one, if you just look at Louisville basketball last year, they got really disrupted with those first six games. You know, Chris Mack and Mike Pegues, their relationship and how they related with the players got all skewed. It got all messed up during those suspensions. So I don't know names. I think his inner circle, he's got great connections. He's got to go hit the recruiting trail very quickly. But I would expect Kenny Payne to feel like, hey, I've earned this job. I don't need to go get anybody's help. I need people who are going to help me put my process in place, help me get my voice out there. He's done this for a long time. And I think just adding the New York Knicks for a few years here is nothing but a plus. And the development of somebody like Julius Randle, you're going to be able to sell that to a ton of college kids. Because I'll tell you guys, as crazy as it seems, every single player that gets recruited to the ACC feels like they are one step away, one coach that needs to put them in the right position away from making the NBA. And Kenny Payne will make that message clear, maybe clearer than any coach we have in the league.
You know what? I think that's a great point. I think you're spot on with that. All right. I can tell from the bags under your eyes, you caught Notre Dame's act last night. How about that crazy game? Now, listen, we're going to get a bunch of great games in the NCAA tournament, but that was a perfect March Madness game. That was sensational stuff last night.
What a way to start. I did stay up and watch the game. Thank you. I didn't have my Packer and Durham coffee in my mug yet, but I stayed up watching the game. Notre Dame just finding ways to win. You expect that from that veteran group, but just in terms of watching an early game, a first four in, it doesn't get better than that. And there's a lot of arguments out there to take those games away. But, you know, you saw UCLA last year make a run to the Final Four. You saw just how good that game was last night, how back and forth and overtime and right at the end of regulation. It was awesome to watch. Paul Atkinson was so efficient, such a smart player. And they just didn't give up. I think Mike Bray's group has found ways to win late in games. It would have been insane if those guys didn't make the tournament, but I'm glad they're in there, whether it's a playing game or not. And sometimes, Joe Barry talked about this, sometimes it's good to get an extra game in there, especially for a team that shoots the ball really well, just to get you reps in that tournament atmosphere. And it's kind of crazy to think so many of those guys, super seniors and all, have not made the NCAA tournament. So it's exciting for them to get a win.
All right, let's skip around here a little bit. Carolina goes today. We were talking about the game with Marquette. Is it simplistic as rebounding the basketball today? And the huge margin in rebounding differential between those two schools. It's scary where that is. I mean, Marquette like 320-something. I mean, how in the world? I mean, Carolina hits shots. They should win this game, right?
Right. You know, sometimes we overcomplicate these things. Big Booze would be here to say, feed the big fella. That's all you need to do in this game. Come on. Armando Bacot is special. He's efficient. I thought they were shooting way too many jump shots in their game against Virginia Tech. You know, Armando was sitting there at you know, eight for eight from the field, rebounding the basketball, and they just stopped throwing it to him. You don't need Brady Manick to come out and shoot the way he did against Virginia and throw the three balls up, the three goggles up and all that. Don't worry about none of that. Throw the ball inside and let that be your early offense. Let Armando Bacot dominate the paint. They fall in love with the jump shots, and it dictates everything else. You know, their defense struggled. Their rebounding struggled, all because they weren't hitting shots. Carolina cannot be that team. I think Armando Bacot has to get deep post position, catch the ball, and that's how they initiate the offense every time. You throw it to him off pick and rolls. You throw it to him off early post up. Find his opportunities early in the game. Help him dominate the paint. The rest will fall into place. Mm. And how would you like to be Baylor as the one seed, and you might have to play that Carolina team in the second round? Talk about it. You chose the short straw there.
Well, and on top of that, you lose your leading scorer for the weekend for sure, mm-hmm. assuming both of them will get by and win today. We've seen teams get hot in March and go on crazy runs. We just watched one of the all-time performances in Brooklyn, where Virginia Tech, as a 7 seed, first time in the history of the conference's tournament, 7 seed runs the table, beat Clemson, and then beat 1, 2, and 3 seeds. Can that continue for the Hokies? Hmm. I mean, they jump on Texas, Chris Beard's team leaking oil down the stretch. Do you expect Virginia Tech just to take exactly what you saw at the end of the regular season and into the tournament right into March Madness? You tell me.
I've been a believer in Virginia Tech for all season. I said at the beginning of the year, I thought they'd do really well. I do think they take this momentum and keep going. What I saw in the ACC tournament was unbelievable. They weren't just beating teams. They were really whooping them. They played great. You think you're 1 Darius Maddox 3 away from a totally different narrative in that ACC tournament and us probably getting Carolina and Duke in a championship. They just have so much momentum, but also that locker room is so together. Yeah. I think in my conversations with assistant coaches, with players, kind of getting to talk to those guys all week, they are playing for each other. They're playing extremely hard, and they are just locked in to the focus side of the game, the scouting report, what they need to do to win games. And then one last piece, how many guys stepped up for Virginia Tech during that tournament? It wasn't just Keve Aluma, right? He made second team again this year. Great player. But Justin Mutz is Mr. Do-It-All. Hunter Couture in the championship. I don't know if I've seen a player hotter outside of Randolph Childress than him. Darius Maddox had a 20-point game. He had big shots in the Clemson game. Storm Murphy, as the head of the snake, has been playing great and hasn't gotten sped up or eaten alive by some of the size and athleticism the way he did early on in the season. These guys are ready to play. They've added some depth in that backcourt. I think as long as Keve and Justin Mutz can stay away from some foul trouble, they're going to be a really tough out. I expect them to keep rolling. They're a good matchup against Texas, and they haven't gotten, you know, you look at Duke or look at UNC and that size in the front court. I'm not quite as intimidated by Purdue in that second round as I think some other people will be. Now, they have to shoot the basketball well, but Virginia Tech's one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, so I expect these guys to keep rolling. I think Hokies roll.
All right, about a minute here. Are you concerned about Duke? Where's your level of concern about Duke based on what you saw in Brooklyn?
It's high for me. I just don't think they defended well at all. And it's crazy to think they defended better with the defensive player of the year on the bench. If teams can space them out and be able to dribble drive, get in the teeth of the defense with passing, cutting, and just off the bounce, teams can really eat them up. That defense collapses. You get wide open kickouts. You get stuff at the rim. They just didn't impose their will. They're physical. They're athletic. They have to make teams feel that. And, you know, you look at just the matchups between Virginia Tech and Duke. They should have been able to physically impose their will. They couldn't get it done. They didn't dominate the boards, and they didn't shoot it well enough. So there are a lot of red flags for me right now with the Blue Devils, but the good thing is you've got one of the best coaches of all time, if not the best coach of all time. So I imagine he turns these late-season woes around and that we see Duke start to play really well tourney time.
Packer thinks they'll roll Cal State Fullerton, Luke, just so you know. Packer's in on Duke against Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah.
A real stretch there. I think they get it done.
You know, I'm just going to warn you, though. I have seen Duke as a 2 seed play in the NCAA tournament Ooh. In Greenville, South Carolina. Ooh. And that second game was a bugaboo. Frank Martin in South Carolina got him the last time and went on to a Final Four. Kind of curious to see what happens with Davidson and Michigan State. I mean, that 7-10 game is a great one, much like Miami and SC 7-10. By the way, you like the Canes in that game or not? Yes or no?
I do. I think they've done really well against length. They have a great strategy in terms of keeping the ball out of the front court, creating turnovers, and those four guards can go now. Jordan Miller, Coach L called Miller the best offensive rebounder he's ever coached. Again, I couldn't believe he didn't say me in that category, but I'll let it slide. But, man, they're impressive in the tournament. Dude. They're undersized, but they can go.
Dude, he would have. Hey, he'd still be naming players before he got to you as the best offensive rebounder.
You got to be good at certain things. Some things you're not quite as good at. It's, you know, you got to play your role. You got to play your role.
You play to your strength.
Got to know right, your limitations,
Luke,
Hancock.
Play to your strength.
So one thing I realized about you, you realize your limitations and accentuate the positives, my man.
Let's call it staying in my lane, Wes. You know
it. That's it. All right. Thanks as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Luke Hancock, one of our ACC Network basketball analysts.
26th appearance.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday, show 587. Tons of guests coming your way live.
Congratulations this morning on the women's basketball side to Alisa Cunane of NC State and Liz Kitley of Virginia Tech. They were voted second and third team All-America yesterday, respectively, by the Associated Press in women's basketball, and both richly deserving of said honors. Terrific players. Good heavens. I mean, Cunane, sensational. Kitley, ACC Player of the Year, tremendous as well, leading both their teams to NCAA tournaments.
So the ACC Player of the Year is the third teamer.
Mm-hmm.
The same group of AP voters?
I guess.
Ben Carroll on the
third team
and the ACC Player of the Year receiving votes?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Just ask it.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying a lot of people look at rankings, and you'd be right.
I would say that folks need to watch games, just like I said yesterday. I think folks in the AP, Heisman voters, all these folks, I highly suggest you should actually watch all the games.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all I'm going to say. But congratulations to all.
Absolutely, and looking forward to watching both play in the NCAA tournament. Yesterday, Katie Meyer joined us, the head coach of Miami, and we have had just great visits with Katie Meyer through the years, right? Even back on radio.
Right.
On into TV, on set at tip-off. She's fun. And her team now is just kind of on that cusp now. Destiny Harden, Kelsey Marshall. She's got a talented team that starts in the women's tournament, obviously against South Florida up in Columbia. We asked her about just how good women's basketball has been in the ACC this year to start.
I can't believe a team like Boston College didn't get in. I mean, I don't recall a team with a positive win-loss ratio in this conference not getting in. We've had teams that were, back when we played 16, that were 7-9 and got in because 7 was enough. Like, under 500 was enough. So I feel for BC. I really felt like they would beat at least half the teams that are in this field right now. I understand it, but I just feel for them because I think it was, that's how good this league is that we should absolutely have had 9, no question, complete, like, honest from my years of coaching and it's unbelievable. So to draw, you know, if you beat Duke and then Louisville and then Notre Dame in a season, you feel pretty good about yourself. And to beat them in 3 days and then play in the finals was a heck of an accomplishment. And it's a credit to those teams. I mean, it's not a credit to our team as much as it's a credit to, oh my gosh, how great are your opponents? And so hopefully our league, we feel really prepared going into the big dance now.
Katie, the brackets are set and there's no need to whine about it or say, hey, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. We're going to roll the ball out and start playing and keeping score and the best part comes. But were you a bit surprised from a seeding perspective for the league top to bottom, given the quality of the conference?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the committee had some procedural things to consider as well. When you get 8 teams in and you can't play first 2 games on someone's court, you know, you don't want to play against a conference opponent. They really try to protect the first 2 games. the math starts getting hard, you know. And then we have two number ones, so there was only a place for Georgia Tech and us to go, and that was it. It was either Stanford or South Carolina, because Louisville got the other number one over Baylor because they lost the championship. So as you started looking at it from the procedural perspective, you kind of have to throw out the actual seed or get your feelings hurt about the seeding, because they have a very tough job. I would rather that we have eight teams in and worry about the seeding than, well, you know, it's more convenient to only give six. Like, we deserve nine. I'm telling you that. We got eight. Mm-hmm. The eight need to perform, and we're ready. We're up for the task.
All right. So now this, the finality of this, and we've touched on during the week already, but you watch it last night on the men's side when they opened in the first four. You know what the stakes are Friday morning when you play South Florida. You know what you get if you win the game. So how do you focus in? How do you spend these last 48 hours, 72 hours in the buildup to playing 2 days from now in Columbia?
Yeah. Yesterday the bear came out in practice. That's me.
I was wondering when the old hospitality of Katie Meyer in the practice session was going to surface again.
Yeah. There's a certain zone we push into, and it's funny because the veterans are like, okay, she's back. Like, we're ready. Like, it's one of those things where you have to bring the intensity and you have to put the internal pressure on your team before you leave, you know, tons of internal pressure. Like, they don't need to worry about anything else except the small, minute details in our practice, in our gym, in front of the 15 of us, period. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. Really amp up that internal pressure, because that puts us in a certain zone. And then when we go and we have more external pressure when you're in an NCAA tournament and you're on someone's court or you're on a neutral court, but tons of fans and media and all this other stuff, the external pressure gets really, really high. So you better make sure that you've been handling pressure this week. And we can't generate 10,000 fans in a practice, but we can sure harp on the details and make them feel like everything is just on the edge of either win or lose, win or lose, win or lose. So everything we did this since the ACC tournament, every drill had a winner and a loser. I mean, it was last possession, last possession, last possession. Just keep amping up the internal pressure and seeing, you know, who can come through for us.
Katie, given the fact you're playing South Florida, was there not a way to negotiate a deal that, hey, we'll just meet you in Fort Lauderdale and cut back on expenses and the winner gets to go to Columbia? I mean, it would seem to make a lot of sense to me from a business standpoint.
I know. There's one thing, and honestly, so we had so many Florida teams get in, which is great for our state, and Central Florida is playing Florida. And, you know, the South Florida coach and I text each other, said, can you believe this? Like, it's, you know, but that is what it is. The last time we played South Florida, now we scrimmage them all the time in preseason, but the last time we played them, we went all the way to Alaska. We were in the North Carolina. So it's kind of crazy, but we're very familiar because we have a great relationship, because we'll always meet halfway before every season. We haven't done it the last two because of COVID, but we usually meet and do an informal scrimmage and share everything. So this is going to be a game that's going to be very, very familiar, but very, very difficult.
All right. Here's the loaded question from the co-host. You've got great guard play. You've got great post play. What's most important in this event for you?
Honestly, it's what you decide is your advantage. And then how composed is your team in adjusting? Because there's just no way you go in with a game plan. And it's never happened in I really don't know how many I've coached in, but it doesn't happen how you script it, right? It doesn't. It does for a little bit. It does for a quarter here, 5 minutes here and there. But you got to go off script to win one of these games. Something is the coaching's too good. The preparation's too good. And frankly, the pressure's too high for some players. So you got to find it within the game. And I think that the mistakes coaches make is that they go into the NCAA, they don't coach what they see, they coach what they want to see.
And, of course, she's very reliant on Mark Packer's spring trip to Italy.
I am her international recruiting coordinator. So she's looking for
that unpaid, I'm guessing. You don't want to add extra staff. You know,
I mean, I'm going to be out there advantage. In the vineyards partaking. You never know when you might find a good point guard out there.
A player.
She's got an international flavor on that roster.
No question. Yeah.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a beautiful Thursday. I mean, fantastic Thursday. One of the best days of the year, Wes. And it's okay. Not because it's St. Patty's
no,
Day.
No, it has nothing to do with
it's
that.
It's got everything to do with what is upon us. It is a great time in the world of sports.
Today over here, we have big me, little team. And here's why. For the next 2 days, there'll be no off-campus on Sirius XM, ESPNU Radio, Channel 84.
Just one full-time job for me for 2 days.
Yeah.
And it feels like, that's what it feels like. Oh,
so for the next 2 days, if you're looking for off-campus, the award-winning off-campus program with Mark Packer, it will not be there.
Not happening.
No, 2 days off of the 6 hours of live radio / television every day my man does here.
I feel like I'm stealing. Still get paid, too. How about that?
Amazing. What a country.
Goes back to my whole deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Chestnut Hill, shall we?
Let's do it.
Acacia Walker-Weinstein is the head women's lacrosse coach at Boston College. We have a lot of things to cover. Things that will be discussed in this brief visit with Packer and Durham include technology, but we'll get to that in a moment. Acacia, first of all, it's great to have you back. And I'm going to ask you a question that I jokingly asked Pack a moment ago going to break. What's it like coaching Charlotte North? Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know you were going to ask that. You know, she's an incredible person. I mean, the kid is, you know, she's very impressive. I think the greatest thing about coaching her is just how approachable she is about getting better, how approachable she is about working on her weaknesses, how approachable she is about, becoming a better leader. You know, we're always trying to push her. And, you know, she's so open to getting better. She is so thirsty for getting better in all facets of her life. And so a kid that's, a showstopper like Charlotte, some people may think that she's already got it all and she's so hungry to get better. So to coach her is, you know, it pushes us because we've got to get this kid better in terms of her talent. But also, she has such innate leadership qualities already that it's such a good, platform and such a good foundation to work off of to make her an even better leader. And on the field, watching her every day is amazing because she does new stuff every day. She breaks out new tricks. She has new skills that, she's working on her own. I just think that she's gotten better and better this year. And I think that's another thing that I love about coaching her is she is not content. The kid every day plays her heart out and is trying to get better. So that's a coach's dream.
Keisha, I put together the best and worst every weekend. She's on my best list every Monday show because she's one of the biggest superstars in the league. And I'm not even just talking about the specific sport. I'm talking about every student athlete. She is a superstar. And just watching her highlights, man, like you said, it's like every game you see something new and you go, wow, where'd that come from? And it's almost like she's like, this is going to be a terrible analogy. It's like me on Thanksgiving Day playing against the neighborhood kids. They can't stop me. I mean, she's just playing at a different level than everybody else. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful to anybody, but she is a special, special talent.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool, too, because every day I watch as her teammates continue to celebrate her success. And, it's just such a great environment for both Charlotte and everyone around her. The defenders are excited for her success. The other attackers are excited for her success. They all feed off of her electricity, but she also celebrates them. I mean, if you're watching, if she's not in the scoring play, she is leaping for joy when other people score. When Rachel makes a big save or the defense makes a big stop, she is screaming, jumping up and down, celebrating other people's success. And that is everything. That is what takes a great athlete, to an elite level, is when they're so invested in everyone else's success. And I can't ask for anything more because she's really humble. She's hardworking, but she's very unselfish at the same time.
All right. So the teammate concept, all the schematics that go into winning. You've got a great match on Sunday. It's right here on our screen, 2:00 ESPNU. Number one, BC. Number two, Carolina. I mean, this is an unbelievable game to be in March. It's really one of those games we expect to see a couple months from now. So what does it mean to play this right now at this juncture of the season? I hate to use the phrase measuring stick. Is it, in your mind, something of that nature going forward with this team to know you're playing number two on Sunday?
You know, the North Carolina game every year, you know, we have them in the regular season. Sometimes we get to see them in ACCs, and then sometimes we see them later on in playoffs. But, you know, it is an awesome opportunity because they are so incredibly talented. They're so deep. They're very talented on the draw, in transition, subtle defense, subtle attack. They've got individual superstars. They've got, you know, powerful units. And it's just an incredible challenge for us midway through. And, yeah, I think it is a measuring stick, but not the end-all be-all. It's just another indication of where we are. And this whole process for our team, you know, the whole season we focus on the process and the grind and preparation. And it's just another game, you know, that helps us figure out exactly where we are, what we're doing well in, what we need to be better at. And, you know, whether, you know, we win or lose, we expect to win, but we're going to learn so much from it, and we expect to get better from this game. And I think the challenge is everything that we want. It's why people come to Boston College to play Carolinas and Dukes and Syracuse's mid-year and be pushed all year round by the best. So, you know, we're really excited, and, you know, I'm just really proud of our kids. They're so committed to preparation. And, you know, this team's very leader led, which I think is also, you know, really good for us and for any team. But I'm just really proud of the kids and how they're preparing week to week. You know, we just spent a week away in Colorado in Cherry Creek. So I think we've had a lot of really good time as a team. And again, just very impressed every day with how they prepare. And, you know, this week just happens to be North Carolina.
Coach, you know, we hear this from other coaches in other sports, that their best teams are ones that are led within. And when you just mentioned that a second ago, I'm kind of curious. I mean, you've now done this a long time. Every team is different, whether it's a national championship team or whatever the case may be. But do you get a sense from a leadership standpoint, this is one of those teams that's actually easy to coach because they know how to take care of business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, these guys are, we have two with four captains, two on defense, two on offense. And then those guys are holding their own scouting report meetings. They're holding their own film meetings. They're holding their own tendency meetings. And, you know, we'll stumble upon them. You know, we've got our own schedule and our own routine of, you know, for preparation and film and scouting reports and everything, but then we'll stumble upon meetings. And I came out yesterday and the attackers are meeting with the whole offensive unit, you know, reviewing tactics and strategies for the weekend. And, you know, we're not asking them to do this. So, you know, it's really fun to see, and they're very urgent. They really want to win. They're good people, and they want to make others better. So I think they're urgent in everything that they do. And I love it. I mean, I'm so impressed. And then, you know, not just offense and defense, but we have two midfielders, three midfielders really, who are running our midfield meetings. We've got Courtney Weeks, who's out this year with a knee injury. We've got Cassidy Weeks, her twin sister, and then Belle Smith. Our midfielders are being led by some of the best midfielders in the country as well. So our units are all intact and the leaders are all doing their job. And it makes it a lot easier because we can step back and focus on the opponents while the leaders take care of what's going on internally.
I'm going to guess you need all of that on Sunday too, because we've mentioned Charlotte and her incredible exploits. Jamie Ortega is sensational for Carolina. I mean, you're getting two of the greatest goal scorers in D1 women's lacrosse history on Saturday, or Sunday rather.
Yeah, Jamie Ortega is an impressive athlete. She's also, you know, really unselfish too. And I think she's gotten even better this year, which is so, it's so cool. It's so cool for us, for our challenge, you know, for our defense, for a challenge for our defense. But Jamie's always been impressive. And I've always, you know, loved how she plays. But yeah, she'll give our team a good challenge along with the six other girls that she plays with. I mean, they're so deep offensively. And, you know, everyone's a threat. So, it's an awesome challenge. I'm so excited to see our seven defenders go up against our seven attackers. I can't wait.
Keisha, I got to ask you, though. You know, I think the last time we talked to you, you just won the national championship. I was waiting for a new addition to the new addition to the house. So this is the first time we've seen you in a while.
Yeah.
What I know, forget about technology. You and I are in the same boat trying to figure out this new phone thing. But what's new with the house? I mean, I can't believe we didn't get a little bump there, a little extension in the backyard.
Nope, nothing. No house extension. We just got one of these obnoxious, massive trampolines for our kids. I can't believe I did it. That's the new addition. It is. I was on the fence. I'm like, I was off the big trampolines for so many years, and my kids are so crazy that I'm like, you know what? We're getting them a trampoline, and they go out there every day for an hour and a half.
Has mom been out there yet? Yeah, just come sampling on. That?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mom? Yeah, of course I have. I'm out there.
Of course.
I'm trying to catch those double jumps. You know,
I have another question. Is the AD come over and gotten on the trampoline too? Because I envision Pat Kraft coming over to try out the trampoline.
You know what? I should invite him because he would come. He would be over here. No, you know, Pat is so awesome. It's another year, you know, coaching under Pat, and he's just an incredible leader. And it's such a cool environment at BC right now. I mean, our men's basketball team just made a splash. The women's basketball team is playing today. The football team had a great year, and the athletic department is buzzing. And I give all the credit to the coaches, the kids, and Pat, because it's just a great environment right now for BC Athletics.
Yeah.
Pat would come over there on that trampoline. He'd have some eye black, man.
Yeah, he would.
You know, Pat's intense now. He's going to be involved. There's no question about that.
You know, Keisha, I got to be honest. I mean, I worry about him sometimes. I really do. I do. The other day in Brooklyn when it got tight, I was fully expecting, you know, at the end of Earl's bench would be this guy in a catcher's position down at the end of the bench. See, you laugh because you know it's possible. That's why you're laughing.
It is possible.
I know it is.
I still think one of my favorite clips from the national championship last year was Pat jumping up and down on the sidelines. It made the highlight video. I mean, we loved it. He's so into it.
He's a man.
Well, congratulations. It's gonna be. Listen, we got March Madness on the brain, but we got a couple one versus twos.
Yeah.
This week in ACC play on the lacrosse field, and it's going to be intense on Sunday. And congratulations, and tell Charlotte that every time she plays.
Go ahead and tell them you're disappointed when she doesn't have 5 goals in a game.
She had 7 last week.
I know,
week.
But you're disappointed when she doesn't hit at least 5.
I put her on the worst list when she only had 2 the other day. I was like, what happened? I mean, you know, everybody else was scoring. And again, it's all about the assists and getting everybody involved. But she went for 7 the other day. I said, man, she's awesome. I think she's a flat-out superstar, period. Yeah. I do.
Well, you know, I hope someday we can all meet in person, get you guys out to a game. I would love it.
All right. Cool. Before we let you go, though, we got to ask you this question.
Oh, this will be good. I'm excited for this answer, too.
Yeah, because we've been asking all the coaches this question in the last couple months. We're acquiring all this information. You, Coach, for you specifically, what is your walk-up music on game day? What's the song to get you absolutely jazzed and ready to roll?
Eminem, Till I Collapse. Wow. Love it.
There we go. See,
next time you're on, that's going to be your intro song.
That's what you'll get.
It. So the Super Bowl, when he performed, it was like a personal concert. I was so jacked up. And my girls have asked me that recently too. So it's kind of funny.
We crank that up and get you on the trampoline to be like 3 hours later, be bouncing all over the joint.
Thanks, Acacia. Great to see you. Be well. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right. You
bet. Thank you so much.
You bet. Our pleasure. Boston College, Carolina is Sunday on ESPNU at 2:00 tonight. The long-awaited number 8 Duke Louisville.
I got to tell you, I think this contest. Has been your best promo of any event in ACC Network history.
You have
pumped this thing up for weeks.
Tonight, 8:00, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Coach is fun, man.
Acacia?
Yeah, she's a trip.
Can I tell you that we talk about content sometimes, about things we think our viewers would like to see on ACC Network, and I think that there is a conversation to be had, and you're so good at this on your show and when we do these interviews, I'd like to put national championship coaches in the room of all sports and talk about the methodology and some of those things. And she'd be fascinating to talk to.
Yeah.
because you think about the different gears you have of successful coaches in the ACC alone. I mean, you take an Anson Dorrance and an Acacia Walker-Weinstein, and you take Tony Bennett and Dabo Sweeney. And we had one of our, at least one of my favorite conversations we've done together.
Was Bennett and Dabo.
At the spring meetings for SiriusXM.
Yeah.
Agree?
Excellent. And we got out of the way and let two coaches coming off national championship seasons
right.
talk about their experiences and the similarities that they both went through, even though different sports, different everything.
Right.
It was fascinating to listen to.
Yeah, really those two alone. And I'd like to put more in the room from a content perspective and ask questions to kind of get this conversation going.
And the other thing that was cool about that interview, if I'm not mistaken, was Dabo had sent Tony Bennett a text message.
After he beat Auburn.
Tony Bennett said, I knew we were going to be in good shape when I got this message from Dabo. And Dabo didn't have his number. He called up John Swofford today.
Yep.
Can you give me Tony Bennett's number? I want to send him something. And so Swofford gave Dabo Tony Bennett's cell number. He ended up sending a text. And they brought it up out of nowhere. We didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
They brought it up. Yeah. And it was really interesting.
Yeah. It's just a fascinating dynamic, I think, to be had. And for a lot of us, whether we're fans, we cover it, you're in business, I think you can learn a lot
sure.
by listening to successful people, especially those in sports, talk about the journey.
Right. It's about people more than it is the game.
Absolutely.
X's and O's. It's about reading personalities and making that mesh and chemistry and yep. what makes people tick.
Yeah, it's really we like doing interviews like that on this show, but if we could do them in a longer form sometimes, and we had a half hour with Acacia, it'd be awesome to talk about just the things she has to do in order to get her team to be successful. And the same with like Karen Shelton and field hockey at right. Carolina.
The list goes long in this league.
Sure does. Boy, doesn't it? All right, conference cuts. How about Mike Bray, huh? Double overtime, finish after midnight. No biggie. Irish, by the way, are on the ground in San Diego. No sleep needed when you're winning. Here's Coach Bray after the big game.
And you notice Paul's shot went in at 12:02 on St. Patrick's Day. So maybe there was a little bit of karma there. If there's a better game in the NCAA tournament, I got to see it. That was an unbelievable college basketball game. And they're really good and tough and fearless. And I'm really proud of our group because we just kept hanging in. We've grown a lot in the mental toughness area. Did UCLA win in overtime last year against Michigan State in this game? All right, you know, so, I mean, Sunday night at my house, I said we're going to try and channel UCLA. And then, you know, talk about coachable guys, huh? You know, so, yeah, I mean, and I'm damn sure going to convince them over the next 48 hours or 36 that it's our time.
He's awesome. He's just great.
Get off your feet. Get ready because yep. the Alabama Crimson Tide is up next for Notre Dame. Should be some kind of game tomorrow.
All right, let's go to Fort Worth this afternoon. Carolina takes the floor in the NCAA to meet Marquette. Hubert Davis was asked yesterday about how much motivation can be drawn from last year's first round loss to Wisconsin.
You can get a little juice. I don't think it's juice that's sustainable, you know, but – you know, I think obviously what happened in the NCAA tournament last year, obviously it's a different coaching staff, different players. We lost to Marquette last year. You know, those are things that can motivate you in your preparation. I don't think it's sustainable out there in the game, but it can definitely put you in a place to focus, concentrate, and put yourself in a position to make sure that you're preparing to the best of your ability. That was a humbling experience and something that you cannot forget.
I love the way he talks about previous experiences and how they impact the next steps.
That's what coaches do.
Right, but I mean, he qualifies things. Like, he'll take a loss, and some coaches just want to get away from him, right? He'll actually tell you, hey, look, that was an L. We took one in the mouth, and we better learn from it type thing. You don't hear that kind of genuine honesty about the experience sometimes you do from him. Now, maybe as he coaches longer, you know, he'll get away from it, but
probably will. But yeah. You know, North Carolina on neutral sites, it's been an issue. Mm-hmm. They've lost to some really, really good teams. I mean, Just look at that list. I mean, the Tennessees, the Purdue's, the Kentucky's. I like their chances today against Marquette. I just think we've talked about the rebounding margin. I think it's going to be sufficient. You heard Luke Hancock talking about Al Baycott should be able to dominate inside. I think that's going to happen.
All right. Next stop, Mike Young, talking to the media. What did he think about Virginia Tech as an 11 seed?
I mean, I thought about it a little bit Saturday night after winning. I think he even asked somebody, you know, where do you think we'll be in 7, 8, 9? You know, Mark, probably fair. I think it's also pretty evident, had we not beaten Duke, we wouldn't have gotten in, which I scratched my head a little bit. But, you know, 11, we're playing. We're in. We got a chance to, you know, play good basketball again and advance. So let's see what happens. I don't care.
He's right.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you heard what Buzz Williams went through with the whole thing, talking about, you know, people have vendettas out against his team. And not, but hey, you want to get in. Once you're in, it doesn't matter what the number is, go play.
Most underseeded teams, Woody and the Hoosiers already with a win. Virginia Tech is second, Clones, and then Braes Irish, according to BPI, by the way. All right, let's
wrap. I'll give BPI some love. They said Notre Dame was, what, a 60-some-odd percent?
Yeah.
I get it. So, hey. I'm going to be clean with this one.
Building that bridge, aren't you?
Give BPI some love. They got that one right last night.
Building that bridge. I like it. All right, let's wrap this with John Calipari.
What?
We're going to do John Calipari?
On the ACC,
ACC Network?
How dare you? Blasphemy.
How dare you? Well, you know, we think about it from time to time. We have people appear on the sister network down there.
We don't have a problem with it.
No, fine. Calipari, though, yesterday talking about Kenny Payne being named the new basketball coach at Louisville.
Tell you that they could not hire anybody that will do a better job than Kenny Payne. Great coach, great human being, great husband, great father, Louisville graduate. I may say he should have been hired before there, but you know what? They get him, they got the best of the best. We're friends. Kenny Payne, whatever happens with these games, will be friends. It should lighten up their side, our side. Like, look, it's one game a year. Who cares? It's life and death. I'll jump off a bridge. What? It's one game. I've said it for 13 years. And they, look, they've been to national titles. They've won national titles, Final Fours. You ready with what I'm going to tell you? With different coaches, which means it's not about the coach. That program is one of the programs. They deserve a coach like Kenny Payne.
I don't care whether you like him or don't like him. He's real every time.
I like him.
I do too. I'm a fan. I met him in 1995 for the first time when he was still coaching UMass, when he had Travieso and Padilla and Marcus Camby and all that deal. The guy can flat get it done, but he's a realist about stuff like that right there.
Yeah, and he'll offend you with truth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some people that offend people with truth.
I mean, the one and done thing he took a lot of heat for, and he said, hey, what's the problem? What's the problem? We can do it. We're going to do it. We're that program. He talked about it in relationship to NIL. You're only going to make us better, right?
Yeah. Listen, it'll be intriguing to see what happens, right, with that rivalry. Of course, it's an incredible intensity in that state. Yeah. That's why I keep harping on how important it is for Louisville to get the right guy, because Louisville needs to be good for the ACC.
There you go. I'm with you on that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.